You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. I'm Shane. He's Brent. You know the deal by now. We've been doing this a long time. We're close to like 40-plus episodes of this thing, Brent. Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, it's crazy. And definitely we've been having fun. And to get to talk with each and every one of these race car drivers has just been awesome, because just the stories and the different talents that we see on the track, it's cool to see their talent off the track and on the mic. And I'm excited about this season, let alone all of our podcast. I can't wait to get to Crandon. It's going to be an amazing time.
Yeah, I think before we talk about Crandon at all, and we will talk about Crandon at length, especially on the next episode, which will be the last episode before the World Championships. But man, did Bark River bring the heat or what?
Man, the heat. The weather was beautiful, but the heat on the track was outrageous. I mean,
unbelievable.
It was over the top. We expected great racing, which we've seen in every class. But come on, man, what we got to talk about, that Pro 4 drama. Talk about Jimmy Henderson, CJ Greaves. Shane, tell me what your thoughts are. We've watched it multiple times. We've heard points of view. But tell me what you've seen in your eyes when that pass went down.
This before I get started on that, this kind of sounds like a rerun. I feel like we were talking about drama between these two already once this year. Different roles this time, though. It's a penalty assessed to a different driver. But from my point of view, and of course, we don't need to set this up too much, but it's the pass going into Cemetery Turn on Sunday in round 10. Jimmy Henderson dove in extremely hard into Cemetery Turn. It looked in real time like there was contact, and I believe that there probably was some contact. CJ Greaves ends up in the wall. From my point of view, in the moment and later on in the race when Henderson pulled into the hot pit to serve that penalty, I was surprised that there was a penalty. And that was my real-time assessment of it. I've gone back and watched it a couple times, and I think I still feel the same way. I understand why they could throw the black flag there. And again, you and I, we don't make these decisions. When it comes to this stuff, we're fans just like everybody else.
Nor we'd want to.
Yeah, I in this case, listen, I have access to the Champ social media pages. I know what kind of messages and comments they've been getting about it. I can't imagine any of that directed at me ever. I catch enough heat for what we do on the mic. That's plenty for me. I don't think it was a penalty. That's my opinion on it. I don't think it should have been a penalty, I should say.
Well, I can say I agree, and a lot of people might disagree, but we had the bird's eye view. We got to watch the replays. I've seen it. I mean, talked to Jimmy Henderson. Didn't get a chance really to talk to CJ Greaves. Seen him at our local fair this last weekend and didn't bring that up, right? He was just having a great time, sure, just chilling out. And I didn't feel it was the place and time to bring it up to ask. And I feel that, yeah, it might have been a little bit of rubbing and banging throughout the race. But in my eyes, I didn't see nothing go wrong. And I thought it was a harsh call on Jimmy after all that success. I mean, we've watched the start of the year, Shane, and we've called every race, and we got to give credit where credit's due. Jimmy is ready to play, and I feel like he got a little dirt thrown in his face in the wrong way.
You worded that a little more strongly than I did, but you know, I think we're in agreement on that.
Right, and I don't want to play favorites, but this is off-road racing.
It's a bummer deal for Henderson and frankly for the fans. The race that could have been, you know, had that pass played out differently in a couple different ways, you know, we were on our way to maybe seeing another classic as of this year, CJ versus Jimmy Henderson battle. And, you know, unfortunately CJ paid the price like we've said, and then Henderson ultimately pays the price with the penalty. These things happen in racing. They do.
Yeah,
we're set up for, you know, with just a couple rounds left or a couple weekends left in the season, I think we're set up for some even higher drama. And, you know, I know you're going to agree with that much.
Yeah, and the drama's going to continue. I don't care if you're a Jimmy Henderson fan or a CJ Greaves fan. I mean, we want to see him go down to the wire. And like you said, I believe we would have seen another hands down great battle between the two. Like back in the day when we were watching Rick Huseman and John Greaves, CJ's father, go at it at Bark River in the monster trucks. I'll never forget that weekend. And a lot of people say that, hey, Pro 4 only has this many trucks, but it's crazy what great racing it can create, even with a couple, even four. And I don't want to keep going on with this drama with the Pro 4s, but it's going to happen. And I just want to see the better guy win and let him race it out.
I think it's important, too, that, you know, let's step back a little bit and look at this season as a bigger picture. Coming into this year, and we talked about this after Crandon, the first time those two had some beef on the racetrack, we thought it was just going to be the CJ Greaves show, especially after Johnny got hurt in Antigo.
Right.
We thought, okay, that's pretty much it. CJ Greaves going to run away with this. And then Jimmy Henderson shows up, sweeps Crandon in rounds 3 and 4. All of a sudden, you know, he picks up another win later in the season at Dirt City Motorplex. All of a sudden, this is a full-blown rivalry. This, for my money, what we've seen this season is what we've seen the last couple of years between CJ and Kyle LaDuke. And I mean that.
Yeah, you couldn't have put that any better. And I believe that we want to see a great battle, and that's what they've been showing. And we get goosebumps every time Pro 4 comes out, because we know that United Rentals ride of Jimmy Henderson is going to be ready to rock and roll. And his Maxxis tires, we talked the tire war, they're a great tire. So is the Toyo tire. We've seen Kyle LaDuke run them for multiple years and do very well. So it comes down to who's driving the truck as hard as it needs to be driven and who can get their truck to the finish line first. Like I said during the live show, that whatever's left of it, because that track created great racing, but man, there's not a lot of room to pass, but it can come right down to the wire. And that's what I love about Bark River.
You know me too, Brent. I'm an optimist, and the silver lining of that whole round 10 race, all that drama, we got to see the wild man, Adrian Chenny, win a Pro 4 race in the year 2023. And I'm not lying. I told you this in the moment. You know, calling him going across the line, taking that checkered flag, my eyes were tearing up, seriously. I mean, I was so excited. That's a guy that used to thrill me when I was just a kid with my hands up against the chain link fence. And to see him, you know, fight through a lot of adversity this year and over the past few years and come out on top of that race, unbelievable. I loved that. I love it for Adrian Chenny. I love it for the fans. You know, I even commented that was the last race of the weekend, but just the number of fans that stuck around to see his podium interview was just terrific. It was awesome.
Yeah, and I was glad to share that moment with you, because we know how hard he tries and he creates that name of the wild man. He's doing phenomenal things just outside of racing, trying new obstacles in his life and always trying to gain attention. And I feel he's on the right track. He's brought in Todd LaDuke onto the team to help him on the radio to try to keep him calm and hit his lines, which is huge. You know that. To have a guy at that level knows where the track develops and where it comes apart throughout the race. And I think he calmed Adrian down.
Yes.
And to see him win at Bark River, I love a guy with that much skill. And not only the skill, but the drive to want to be a part of our sport, capitalize. And I thought it was a great day for everyone.
And I think the lasting image from it for me was after Adrian got out of the truck, he was sitting on top of the truck and he looked just completely exhausted, but also just the most satisfied smile on his face. Like, finally, I'm back up here. It was just such a great moment for Adrian and for the Pro 4 field, for the fans, and for short course racing, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Adrian, he's been around a long time. Like you said, you were a big part of his fan club and loved every minute of what he put on as a show. And I remember the Adrian staffing trucks growing up from 99 all the way to 2023. I mean, I can't remember. Did you ever go down and get the stats on where and when his last race victory was? I believe it was at Crandon, we thunk, right?
Someone will correct me on this, I'm sure. Probably Kyle Cooper will send me a message after this podcast comes out. But I remember Adrian, there was a year, I think it was 2012, where June Crandon, one of the days, got rained out. So they actually raced three points races at Crandon. So he raced a points race Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the cup race. And that year showed up at Crandon for World Championship weekend and swept all three points races. And I don't remember him winning another race, at least in the Midwest, since then. And like I said, someone's going to correct me and, you know, bring up a time since then that he won. But, you know, that was kind of my last memory of him being that dude. And then we saw it again in Bark River both days, because he was competitive on Saturday too.
Yeah, Adrian, I think he's back in the groove. He's going to be ready for Crandon. He's really, really fast.
Yeah.
It's dialed in.
He's got the mojo.
Yeah, and that's what you need to have. We talked to even the young guns in the sport. You have to have that confidence, and I believe the confidence is there, and we talk about confidence. We talk about Super Stock Truck and Braden Boshaw. I mean, Braden Boshaw is really showing that he belongs in Super Stock Truck and running up front, sweeping Bark River. That's pretty crazy for such a young kid.
Yeah, and what a great season he's had. He already had a win back in Antigo to kick off the season, in round two, I should say. He had a win at ERX, so he's won at a couple different types of tracks, goes to his hometown track, like you said, swept the weekend. And you know that I've always got my eye on points battles. Even, you know, I said it kind of half-jokingly in Crandon in round three, but at that point, I'm already watching points battles. And coming out of Bark River, I thumbed through all the point standings, and a lot of those points pictures got a lot clearer in Bark River. Maybe where it was a 3 or 4 way battle, it kind of got whittled down. The weekend that whole class had, with Joe Machosik having a couple bad days, Belanger finished second behind Braden both days, Braden sweeping, and then Ben Holcher, 2 fourth-place finishes, that actually muddied that points picture a whole bunch. Machosik was leading the points coming in, and now the top four are separated only by 17 points. With 2 rounds left, that's set up to be one heck of a battle, and any of those guys can come out at Crandon and lay it down and come out on top.
I remember, it's crazy that you talk that way, because Braden Boshaw, when I talked to him back, I believe it was at ERX, he's like, yeah, we need to go into Bark River and we need to sweep the weekend. I don't ever doubt that team and doubt him as a driver. He's very smart and he's very methodical. He's not going to just do something stupid. He'll think about it before he does it. And I think he's done a great job. And to hear him say he's going to sweep and then show up at Bark River and do it the way he did, I think he put on a clinic on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I mean, that last lap pass, that was very aggressive, but you could tell he pulled a little bit out of his sleeve, and he raced like his father back in the day. His dad would do what he needed to do to get to the front. He wasn't dirty, his father, but if he needed to be aggressive, he knew how to put the elbows out.
Yeah, I was actually a little bit nervous after that pass went down when he passed Scott Belanger in the final turn. We kind of looked at each other, and it was, you know, kind of an eyebrow-raising moment. Like,
Bobby!
Oh, man, like, are these guys... Yeah, where's the call from race control? We were waiting for that, for one thing, because that was one of those moments that, you know, to peel back the curtain a little bit, 99% of the time we're calling a race off our monitors. Obviously, a battle for the lead coming into the final turn, we know the cameras aren't leaving it, so we were looking out the window, and the angle that we had... That pass, I mean, it was an aggressive move, no doubt about it, but from our vantage point, my goodness, did that look aggressive, and it looked from our angle like he basically decided that he was just going to take Scott Belanger out.
That's crazy. You know,
fortunately, again, we don't make those calls because we would have been wrong in that case. And then what a classy move, by the way, for Scott Belanger to get on the podium then and say, yeah, it was a racing incident, and basically admitted like, hey, I left the door open, I shouldn't have, and you know, knowing Scott, I think he would have made the same move if the roles were reversed. So, tip of the hat to him. Like I said, he's also still right in the points battle, too.
Yeah, he's really turned it on. And anytime we talk Super Stock Truck, Scott Belanger's right there. And we talk about that aggressive move. I feel as a young kid like Braden Boshaw, he needs to show these older guys and girls in the sport, especially the guys in Super Stock Truck, that, hey, I'm not afraid to bump and bang around, because I feel Braden sometimes had the short end of the stick a lot. He didn't take himself out. Yeah. It was a mechanical failure, or he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, you know, you try to keep the kid's head up, and I think he's doing a great job, and I know he is now, that he's going to be one to watch going into Fall Crandon, because you know that truck gets out of the hole on that hole shot. And if he gets out front and he takes a deep breath, he could be looking at a championship. I know it's early, but you got guys like Joey Machosik, Nick Bing. They're all fast at Crandon. And I believe that we're going to see it come right down to the last day to the championship. And every point counts, right, Shane?
Yeah, every point does count. And it's going to be a wild two final rounds for that class. I think it's really interesting, too, that you know, talking about Braden after we just talked quite a bit about Jimmy Henderson, I see a lot of parallels there with how each of their seasons have gone. You know, Henderson, we talked about him after Dirt City, I believe, and it feels like he now has the confidence and the swagger that he knows he belongs running up front. And I think it took Braden a little bit to get there too, but he's there now. You see the same thing. He's willing to make that aggressive move where maybe last year he maybe wouldn't have taken that shot at Belanger. So it's really interesting to see the parallels there. And again, we talk about this all the time, but it's true. Confidence is so important, and being self-assured and knowing that, like, hey, I can run with the big dogs. I can be out here and I belong out here.
Yeah, I agree. And he needed to put his foot down. And I think you're right. And to sum up what you said, I think he really matured into that next level race car driver. Not that he wasn't there yet. I mean, he showed very good speed his first year in Super Stock, but now he's putting races together. If he don't get taken out, he usually is up on the podium. And that confidence is huge as a young driver, and that's the type of guy he is. He wants to win. He loves his family. He loves everything about racing. He does great in school, and he does great on the racetrack, and he's going to be hard to knock off at Crandon, I believe. Not only is he my cousin, but I've watched him grow up as a young kid, and he's in the right footsteps. He's going to do big things.
Bigger picture, though, again, I'm so excited to see Super Stock trucks at Crandon. That's going to be just wall-to-wall excitement.
Oh, who's going to win
it's
there?
It's going to be like Super Stock truck and Pro 4 themselves are going to be worth the ticket price. Guaranteed. I guarantee it.
Absolutely. Both great battles all season. And we talk about battles. Porter and Glazy, Carter Vandenhoevel. That was crazy. That last lap, unreal. We've seen a lot of races. What was it? 7 out of the first 9 races came down within a half a second. I don't remember what day it was.
Sportsman Racing both days was just unbelievable. The number of like last corner passes or drag races to the checkered flag that we saw at Bark River was unbelievable. And yet again, just like we saw back at ERX, Modkart probably the tightest finish of any in the entire weekend in Bark River. Like you said, Carter Vandenhoevel, that's 2 now that he's won just by inches. I mean, it was maybe 3 feet at the most that he was able to beat Porter and Glazy to the line. And the lasting image that's going to stay with me from that moment is they pulled up beside one another on the podium. Both guys jumped out and just had a huge hug. And man, it's hard not to absolutely love Modkart. Kids that are developing into young adults as race car drivers, learning so much about racecraft and laying it all out on the line, and you see the amount of respect that they have for one another. That was such a cool moment and such a tremendous finish to that race.
Yeah, the respect is huge, and that's what I look at as the race goes on, is nobody takes each other out. Carter, he's calm, cool, and collected. So is Porter and Glazy, and I'm telling you that these guys are our future, and I know Carter, this is last year in Modkart. We were talking off the mic here and saying how wonder what he's going to be doing and what's next. You know, you wish that this Modkart class would last a little bit longer, because these guys have really developed quick in this class. And Carter, for being out of the game for how many years? 7 years, I believe.
Yeah.
That's cool what he gets to do.
Yeah, and taking a quick peek at the points battle, that's an exciting points battle too. Porter and Glazy is the defending champ, and he currently has a 19-point lead over Avery Hemmer.
19.
We've been talking about Avery Hemmer a lot this year. She exploded onto the scene this year. She was, you know, showed some speed last year, landed on the podium in the final weekend at Crandon in 2022. She's a lot faster this year, and she's still in that points battle. And like I mentioned during the show at Bark River, originally they didn't plan on racing Bark River. They had some family stuff planned, and thankfully for our entertainment, they took a look at the point standings and said, hey, wait a minute, we got a shot at this championship too. So Avery Hemmer made it out to Bark River, and she's still right in this thing, and that's going to be another really fun race to watch at Crandon both days.
Yeah, all these races are going to be great to watch. I mean, yeah. Bark
Let's
River. Yeah, I mean, when is the last time that we honestly said we love every race, but after Bark River, I can't imagine any better of a weekend. Thanks to Bark River Lions Club and the whole group, the new facilities. I mean, that was amazing to get to call those races because these drivers drove a great track and it was very racy. And I don't know, there was a lot of great parts on the weekend for me, but what was your favorite part about Bark River, Shane?
Well, I already gave this away, but it's seeing Adrian Chenny win a race here in 2023.
Right, other than Adrian. What do you take out of Bark River?
I mean, that was a moment where, this is going to sound so corny, and I apologize in advance, but
it's all good, buddy.
There was a moment there where I wasn't an announcer. I was just a kid watching racing again. Man, it was just, like I said, it was like a touching moment. And I know that sounds cheesy, and I can't help it.
It's your moment, dude. Your moment.
It just every race weekend we have a few moments where we're really reminded why we love short course off road racing, and you know, to see the old dog, the wild man, lay it down on the field again, just like he did 20 years ago. It was amazing. I loved it. How about you,
man? My favorite part had to be, I got to say about 40% of it was Adrian Chenny, because just the gratification he got out of standing up on top of that truck and knowing he was number one in front of a big crowd and one of the best tracks on the circuit. I mean, you want to win at a big place like that. And for him to be back up on top, that was awesome. But just the sportsman racing, granted, great to see Braden Boshaw sweep as a family member of mine. Seeing these guys try this hard, bummer deal for guys like Joey Machosik and Nick Bing rolling over, but I can guarantee you that class is going to just spark like no other going into this fall run. And I mean, I can't really pick just one thing. I like to say Johnny Fitzgerald just capitalizing once again after talking to him. That was awesome. You got to talk to him.
Yeah.
On the headset during the race. That's great for us because we get to feel what it feels like inside.
We've been trying to buck this announcer's curse all year. And we talked to John Fitzgerald at halfway in a race where he was in second at halfway. He went on to win the race. I'll tempt fate and say maybe we finally got rid of that announcer's curse. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. Drivers who listen to this podcast, we know. We hear it too. We understand. Yeah. We've heard it from you all season. We've cursed a lot of you. We apologize. We can't help it. Maybe that finally ended the trend a little bit.
We know John's our friend, Shane, but I guarantee he's on our side now. I mean, I think he's jumped over that part for us. So now we need about 27, 28 other drivers. You know, we try to do our job, but you guys got to do yours.
That sounds like the right number.
You're probably right.
Yeah, two dozen or more.
It's all
good. We hear about it every Saturday night at the racetrack. Hey, what was up with that, man? You're just when you started talking about me, that's when I rolled over. Well, sorry.
Don't roll over, guys. You know, if we had to drive the trucks too, you know, or in the cars and the buggies.
No, don't make me drive anything. Well, you know who drives this podcast, Brent? That is Amsoil. Remember to visit Amsoil.com for all the products that protect and maximize performance. Did you like that lead into the ad?
I loved it. Keep
going. In all
your
vehicles and motorized toys, use the convenient Amsoil product guides and find exactly what you need and get fast shipping directly to your door. Amsoil, run with us. Well, Brent, looking ahead, we'll talk about Crandon more at length on the next episode, but one exciting new feature on the schedule at Crandon is the Crandon Youth Cup. They moved the youth races to Thursday. They get their own slice of the World Cup pie all by themselves, and I'm excited for that. It's going to be a great show. We get to showcase our youth classes, and you know how much I love youth racing and how exciting those classes have been. I think it's going to be one heck of a show, and we've got a really special podcast. We're going to talk to three guests, all youth racers here in Champ Off-Road.
Yeah, it's cool to involve all the young guns because they're the future. Like we always say, every weekend we broadcast that, hey, you know, you want to see the future, you got to look in the short course carts, the mod carts, even the little side-by-sides, the 170s, and it's great to have a cup day for these drivers because, hey, they want some of that gold, they want some of that attention, and I feel, hey, we're giving them one whole evening or afternoon of championship day for themselves, and they can watch the championships on Saturday and Sunday of the big boys and girls. And I think it just gives them just more leverage and more excitement towards the weekend, knowing, hey, we got a ring here too, or we got a big medal.
Right. I really think that in our youth ranks too, we have some bona fide stars, and they deserve their, like I said, their own slice of this huge weekend in Crandon for the World Championships. So it's going to be really great to put that on display and make a whole show just about them. I'm super excited for that. And those kids, they all work so hard. The families, the teams work so hard. They all deserve that spotlight. So super excited to be able to bring that to you all. And that's, again, Thursday night before Crandon. So certainly we're looking forward to that. And like I said, we have three guests from the youth classes. First up, from Modkart, Gavin Plummer. Gavin, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, so I want to get down to business, the breaking news here. Right after Bark River, it seemed like right after Bark River, you posted a picture of your wrist in this huge brace, and it looked scary, and you said that Crandon might be not in the cards for you. What's going on there?
I was not really paying attention, and I broke my thumb doing something that I probably shouldn't have. So, I mean, the doctors, they cleared me. Well, they didn't clear me. They just said it wouldn't be smart, but I kind of want to race Crandon. It's the World Championship, biggest race of the year, so kind of feeling like doing it. We're going to go out for practice, I think, and I've just been playing a lot of iRacing recently to try to get my thumb a little bit warmed up for Crandon, but it's not near as violent in a mod cart, so I think I'm going to try. We'll see how it goes.
So you said you're doing something dumb. Is it a fun story or not so much?
Yeah, it's not that great of a story. A basketball just kind of got a little overinflated and blew up in my hand.
Well, that's a lesson learned anyways.
Yeah, never doing that again.
Don't try stuff you see on the internet.
That's the moral of the story, except for racing if you really want to start racing. That's one thing.
Racers are a different kind of crazy, I think.
Maybe just a little bit.
So as you've been iRacing, obviously with an actual broken bone, you're not going to be 100%, but like, how's the strength in that hand? Is it like 80% or is it worse?
Probably around like 70 or 80 in that range. It's just, I can use my four fingers. It's my thumb. My thumb's out while driving anyways, so it doesn't get caught in the wheel or anything if it jolts too hard. So I think I'll be able to give it my all, but if it starts hurting, I think the next day I'll probably not give it as hard.
So what are your goals coming into this weekend, into the final weekend for the championship? I mean, obviously you have that thumb going on and the pain and the issues with that, but to overcome that, do you think you have what it takes?
Yeah, I think I have what it takes because Easton Sleeper, as you remember, he had a broken thumb and he won a ring. So I'm trying to push my limits here and try to be like one of my older friends that raced in this cart that I have right now. So I mean, I'm going to give it my all no matter what. It's not really that fun when you're putting in the back of the class. So either way, I'm going to try to give it my all.
Have you reached out to Easton about it? Have you asked him, you know, what he did to try to, you know, limit how much that thumb can move?
Yeah, we've reached out to his dad, Todd Sleeper. And I mean, he said I'd be fine. So I'm going to take his word on that.
So coming into this, you know, it's a huge weekend. It's probably going to be, again, the biggest crowd ever at a short course off-road race. And you get your own event now on Thursday before the weekend, the Youth World Cup at Crandon. Does that add pressure to you to perform better, or do you not let that get to you?
I really don't let it get to me. I mean, it's like the exact same thing as just racing normally. It's just a bigger crowd. You got to perform the best you can every single race. You can't let it get into your head. I mean, yeah, it's the best in the business, the fans and everything, but I mean, you got to perform at your top level every single race.
So what does a successful weekend look like for you going into Crandon? I mean, what's your goals and what will you be happy with at the end of the weekend?
I mean, if I wouldn't have a broken finger, it'd probably be finishing on the podium or getting a ring. But with my thumb, I'm just trying to finish the race without getting hurt really and jolting my finger already that it already is. But ideally it'd be probably a top five with my broken thumb, but that's like most of the people in mod cart usually break, but this weekend everyone's prepping their trucks like amazingly to try to get this ring, so I don't think anyone else is gonna have that much problems, but I'll try my best to get up in the top.
Let's look back at where this mod cart journey started. It was 1 year ago at the World Championships that you stepped into that class for the first time. Now that you've got a full season worth of seat time in, how much do you think you've progressed from that first race in mod cart to now?
That first race, it was amazing, but other than clunking it out of the starting line, I don't know how. It was good. I think iRacing teach me a lot before that, because it was just me not used to drifting the truck, keeping it smooth in a short course cart, going like not even the speeds of the mod cart. But I think iRacing helped me, and I think I've progressed a lot since that. I kind of wish they would let us race the mid track at Crandon during the World Championship, but I guess it's short course, so.
I agree with you, by the way. I think mod carts on the mid track would be an excellent show.
Oh, for sure.
That chicane or Argon, or I don't know what corner that is because we don't race back there, but iRacing is so much different. But in that back section, I know it so well from iRacing. None of the kids in our class never went back there, so I kind of had an advantage for every single other person. I mean, I was running second with Zach Brahanowitz that whole single race, battling back and forth. Little mistake by him, and then we both got tangled up, but I mean, it was so fun. That back section's like amazing. And then the speed coming back in the turn one, you get a lot more air, you get a lot more speed. It's just a lot more fun.
Coming into mod cart, especially coming into this season, what were your expectations or what were your goals for this season before this all started this year?
I mean, this season for me, it was just kind of a learning year because I needed to get used to this mod cart. I mean, I wasn't expecting anything. This year, I was just trying to learn the cart, learn the limits, learn everything about it, and try to work on it to look at what I need to do, what I need to learn, how to do it for my father, and how to help, and just get used to the truck of getting it, how to turn, knowing where my shift points are. I mean, it's a whole nother level from short course kart.
Saying it's a whole nother level, like, what's the hardest part of getting into this new class, making that jump? And going to next year, I mean, your goals, I mean, do you want to win the whole time? Do you believe you can win the whole time, or are you just looking to be consistent?
I believe that I had the speed to win. I've showed it this year a couple of times, like at ERX and at Crandon. I've been running good. Sure. But it's just the mechanical failures this year that have been killing us. I mean, I'm kind of just looking for consistency, because in short course kart, I had that consistency, and I ended up second in points, which was amazing, but I wish I would have got first like everyone always roots for and stuff. So it was fun, but probably the biggest advantage of the mod cart class is moving up into the next classes, learning how to shift, do your shift points. And like the hardest thing in mod cart is knowing when to shift. I mean, you have to listen to the motor when it screams the highest, then you got to shift. You just got to wind it out. If you don't wind it out, you're going to get blew by other people that are running, winding it out.
I think it's interesting that you point to shifting as being the toughest part to learn, because when we had Carter Vandenhoevel on the podcast, he said the same thing. And, you know, he's a former short course kart champ, and he said he's still, even as he's won some races, he's still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard, but I have a light to help me. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just amazing having that light. It's a very, if you're getting just in a mod cart, I suggest getting a shift light.
Maybe it's a little bit early since you were only in, 1 year into mod cart, but do you see something bigger in the future? You know, if you could look into a crystal ball 3-5 years from now, what do you see?
I see Mike Kirkham's pro buggy in my hands.
Is that something that that you and your family and the team have had discussions about?
Yeah, we have. I mean, Mike, he's doing good after he got T-boned. I mean, his ribs broke. I mean, I hope he really races. He's certain points of a good shot at the championship. But once his son starts racing, Evan, he said he's going to be done racing for a while, or just be done. So I talked to my dad. I mean, Pro Specs, Pro Lights, they don't have much suspension, but it's not open wheel. Super Buggies, they have amazing suspension. I feel like that'd be probably the best class for me to go into and probably try to get used to. I mean, if we practice at Crandon, my dad was talking about, I might be able to drive his car like a couple laps. I mean, that'd be pretty fun. Nice. So.
No, I said, hey, Shane, the mod car will be all done once he gets in that pro buggy.
So you bring up Mike Kirkham. He's one of your teammates. And then you've got Jacoby Tullberg in short course kart. How much do you learn from each of those guys that makes you a better driver?
I mean, I learned a lot from Mike, like how he drives, and he drives good. And it's like really fun watching him race because he's going at probably the same speeds we are, if not faster. And that pro light versus pro buggy is going to be really fun to watch. No, nothing to say anything here, but Kyle Greaves is probably going to win no matter what. But I think Mike will have a shot at it still.
One of the things that I've noticed about Mike is that he is both sneaky fast and sneaky consistent. And I think I've made this comment to Brent before that it's like we don't talk about Mike a whole lot, but then like clockwork, he's up late in the race, fourth, third, making a pass for second. It seems like he's always there. Is that something that you try to emulate in your own driving?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it showed at Antigo, and like the first race, it was a little weird because I broke first lap practice, didn't practice in my mock kart at all over the winter. So it was just kind of like I'm going in blind. I didn't know. And then Todd Sleeper told me, hey, you got to save your truck for the back start of the race. I mean, I think that's what Mike does sometimes when he starts in the back.
Sure.
Picks off people that he can, then goes, well, he's still going full throttle, but he's not trying that hard. And then by the end of the race, he's really pushing the car and trying to pass people for a podium spot and try to sneak in there, you know, like you said.
No, I agree with both you guys. I'm just watching Kirkham over the years, and he seems like he's a second half guy, and he's always consistent. He's there in the end, and that's cool that you get to learn off of him because he's definitely going in the right direction.
Yeah, totally. I agree with you.
So being on a team that's having some success this year, obviously Mike's been on the podium a couple times, and Jacoby Tullberg got that first career win back at Lena. Does being in a group of successful drivers like that push you more and motivate you more?
I mean, yeah, it sets the expectations high for me because every single other one of your teammates are winning and getting podiums, and I'm just trying to push for that spot every single time. But when there's mechanical issues, I can't say anything. I mean, it's mine and my dad's fault that we didn't do anything, but the truck is so much more violent this year than short course kart. And I think Jacoby got the same medal, like not the same medal, but on the same round. I think we both got the same win. So.
And your team, Top Tier Motorsports, you have plans to add another driver to the team too, right?
Yeah, Roman Tolberg, Jacoby Tolberg's brother, and my sister Ava Plummer in the future.
Nice, and your sister actually, she's going to be one of a small handful of drivers who have juvenile diabetes, right?
Yeah, she got diagnosed this year with type 1 diabetes, and at Crandon, we're going to have a fundraiser there with a basket and the Stop and See By. Putting your name for the raffle basket so they can raise money for the juvenile diabetes.
Yeah, that's great that you're able to put your racing towards a great cause, and we'll do our part on the microphone to make sure that people stop by and see you and contribute to the cause.
Thank you.
We don't want to keep you too much longer here, but I want to end it with this one question. If you could give advice, any advice to a younger kid, like let's say a rookie who's racing in 170s, just getting started, or a brand new kid in short course kart, what's the best advice you could give to a young driver?
My advice for a young driver in one of those slower classes is just keep it smooth the whole race. Don't drift. It scrubs off your speed. Once you move into the higher classes, you'll be fine when you drift, but consistency is also key for a younger driver, and just try to make your way through the pack, make smart passes, and stay in the dry stuff.
Well, Gavin, we just hope you have a great weekend, and good luck with your thumb, and make sure you throw some ice on it and stay racing that iRacing stuff because it's definitely helping you out. And any little advantage you can get on your competitors, you and I both know that that's what you need to do.
Yes, sir. I'll probably throw some ibuprofen on it as well.
Hey, every little bit helps. Well, best of luck to you at the World Championships. We will catch up with you at the racetrack. We look forward to it.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that was so great catching up with Gavin and seeing where the future's going with him. But speaking of young race car drivers, she doesn't need any introduction. Next up on the Champ Off-Road Podcast is Ella Holger. Ella, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys?
Good, good. Just getting ready for the big weekend at Crandon. I'm sure you've been pretty busy getting the cars together. And, man, we haven't got to talk to you on the podcast yet. How's your season been?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Still figuring out the mod cart a little bit. 570, it's also going pretty good. I've had a few podiums. I got my win at Lena. That felt pretty good and helped me gain my confidence. Yeah, the season's pretty good.
Even though you're still young, you're still on the beginning of an off-road racing career, you've accomplished so much already. You have world championships in two classes, short course kart and 570s. You have a points championship in the 170s. Are there ever times where you just sit and think about that and like how much you've already achieved in off-road racing?
Yeah, so I actually have like all the rings on my walls and my shelf. So sometimes I'll just like look at them and I'll be like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Huh.
Like it felt awesome to have them. So
are you going to wear them next weekend?
Well, I guess I could. Should I?
I feel like you kind of have to. That's kind of a big flex to be walking around at the world championships with your championship rings.
I know. Come to the driver's meeting. They're like, what's up?
Yeah, there you go. Just walk around, fist bump as many people as you can, but make sure that the rings are on the fist.
Got it. I'll put them on balls. Double fist bump.
There you go. What do you think is your most memorable accomplishment so far? Like on your trophy shelf, what's front and center?
I think I have a huge, I don't know, plank or like platter of my points championship. It's like a plaque, I guess.
So you've gotten a lot of awards already. I mean, just being such a young race car driver, just to think about your career is just phenomenal. I mean, what are your next steps? What do you plan on doing?
So my dad, I think I'm still going to do mod cart next year, maybe 570, but I think for sure in the future we're going to race pro spec, just like Gray Ledbetter, because I think she's so awesome for racing. So I think I'm going to do pro spec when I'm older, but I also want to race UTVs because those are probably like my favorite. So maybe pro stock.
Do you focus a lot on the future, or do you try to just enjoy where you are now?
No, usually I try to just enjoy where I am now, but if I do, then I'll just think about like what I want to do, maybe.
Part of all that success you've had is, you know, whether you know this or not, you're kind of like a big star of the youth classes here in Champ Off Road. Do you have a lot of fans that stop by and constantly follow your racing?
Yeah, so we kind of introduced racing to all our neighborhood friends. Because it's like a new sport to them, and they all come and watch, and it's like really cool for them to see what we do. And lots of fans stop by, autographs I have. When we went for a vacation, I met a girl who like knew me and comes to Crandon, so it was cool to see people from like different states too that know.
So you have fans across the country already, you're saying?
Yeah, I guess so.
What about other racers, like younger racers in like 170s and short course karts? Do you feel like a lot of them look up to you on some level?
Yeah, well, my brother and my cousins, I feel like Finley. My brother tries to like do some of the same moves, I guess, or something that I do. So, I mean, at least I hope they do.
Does that end any pressure, like, on yourself? I mean, to have a big fan base and with you hanging out with other racers, but like you trying to focus, does that put a lot of pressure on you to focus?
Yeah, I guess I try to just keep a good mindset because I feel like if I don't have confidence, then I won't really do good. So I just try to keep like my confidence and hope that I do good.
So you mentioned your cousins being your teammates, Colin and Cam Pytle. You've got your brother Finley on the team also. How much do you four, because you guys are obviously super close, so how much do you push one another and how much do you learn from one another?
Yeah, me and my cousin Colin, actually, we both race in mod car. So, like, it's kind of funny, like, when we come back and, like, I beat him or he beat me and we're just like, good job. My cousins also, it was really cool. They had a podium together at Bark River. My cousin Cam got second and my brother got third. So it was, like, cool to see them on the podium together.
Are there, like, family bragging rights involved, too? Do you guys, when one beats the other one, do you make sure the loser knows about it?
Yeah, I guess not so much, but I'll like, if I'm talking to someone about the race, I'll be like, yeah, I got, like, fifth, or, like, I'll try to make it, like, good.
So, Ella, when you're at the racetrack all the time, you're a racetrack kid. Shane and I, we grew up around the racetrack. That's all we really ever thought about all the time growing up. Just like your dad and your aunt Steph. I mean, just traveling with your grandpa Jeff when he raced. I mean, how great is it to have a family tradition like you have, to be around it every day? And I'm sure that's what you guys talk about 9 times out of 10 things.
Most definitely, yeah. Racing is like a super important thing to our family. It's been around for 30 years, actually. My grandpa started Pro 4 in 1993.
Wow.
Yeah, so he started, and then my aunt still races now, like you mentioned, Aunt Steph. And my dad raced, my uncle raced. So I went to all the races probably when I was like 2, 3, 1. When I was a baby, I started coming, and it's just been something ever since. Like, everyone is getting into it now, so definitely a big part of our family.
When Brent and I talk about the two of us growing up at the racetrack, it's, you know, we've said that we really can't imagine our life being a different way. Do you feel the same way about yourself?
Yeah, I don't even know what I do with, like, without racing. I mean, I do basketball on the side, but racing is like my main thing, and I'm constantly worried about it or planning for the next weekend. So
you mentioned this earlier that mod kart has been really tough. You know, every other class so far, like I said, you've been a winner on one huge level or another, but mod kart just seems like a really different beast for you. What is it about mod kart that makes it so tough?
Yeah, it is. I'm used to running like at the top of the pack, and so being the youngest driver is kind of like hard. I'm still like moving into this, like I moved into it last year, but I'm still learning about it, the shifting. So it's been tough, but I feel like I'm getting better every race and I'm gaining more confidence. So it's being better. It feels cool, I guess, to race against the older boys, but yeah, so I'm still figuring it out.
It's crazy that you say that the shifting is a big part of that mod kart class, because we talked to a couple other racers and that's what they've said as well, is it's really hard to get the RPMs right when you shift. And if you're lazy on your shift points, it'll cost you not only positions, but maybe the race. So is that something you work in your head on every day?
Yeah, I try to keep a good mindset. Like some races, actually we installed a shift light, so it like the RPMs, it makes it a little easier for it.
So you mentioned that you're the youngest driver in the class, and there's some like serious hardcore off-road racing veterans in that class, even though the age limit is 17 years old. You know, how tough are your competitors in that class?
Yeah, sometimes when I come, I think about it. Like Carter Vandenhoevel, he's really older, but he's doing really good. I think he's won almost every race this season. So when I think about my competition, I just realize like all the other older boys. So when I'm like down on myself and I'm like, oh, you did not do good, you know, because I tried harder. I'm like, well, I did also race against like 17 and 16 year old boys. So that makes it a little easier for me. So I'm only 11.
And what's it like to be one of only two girls in that class? Because you started out in 170s, which is now almost 50% girls. Now you're one of just two girls in the mod kart class. Does that add any pressure, extra pressure on you at all? Like when you put the helmet on, are you just another racer?
It doesn't really make a difference, I guess. I don't really think about like being the only girl. I just kind of think about my age difference. But yeah, just try to drive fast.
So you look up to the women in the sport. I mean, you talk about like Haley Deegan. Do you look up to them, or do you just want to be your own name, Ella Holger, doing different things other than like the NASCAR level? Do you want to stay around off-roads, or do you want to go on to bigger and better things?
So I want to stay definitely, I think, off-road. I mean, NASCAR seems cool. My uncles did it, but I kind of want to stay in off-road because it's super cool. I actually do look up to like Haley Deegan and Gray Ledbetter. I think Gray Ledbetter is like, she's awesome because it's so cool to see like another female like her to win a points championship. And I just think she's a great driver for like how old she is, and she's racing pro spec. So it makes me want to race pro spec, and like when I'm older, still do as good as I do.
That's awesome. You'll do well in anything you get in. And ever since you got into the sport, it's cool to see how far you've progressed. And honestly, Shane and I, we talk about your career already at such a young age, 11. It's crazy to think, but in the next 4 or 5 years, I promise you, keep your head up, you're going in the right direction, and you're gonna do big things in this sport.
Thank you.
So looking ahead at what's next, the World Championships, what's your goal for this final weekend of the season here at Crandon? Is it another ring for the trophy case?
Yeah, I'm pretty nervous. I'm hoping it'll be my third ring, but I'm not going to like try to be cocky and just be like, yeah, I'm going to win. I'm just going to have my mindset, like race, when the race comes to me, just do my best, keep a good mindset. And usually I wait till like mid-race until I put it in gear, and I feel like, because usually I'll just be driving, and then for some reason, middle of race, I'll just go. And that's how I got into like third. I actually embarked River for the race. I believe I started fifth or fourth, dropped back two spots into sixth, and then I worked my way back up to third. So it's just kind of like the mindset, I guess. So I'm hoping for my third ring this year, but I'm just going to keep a good mindset and let the race come to me.
So obviously, Crandon, the World Championship weekend, that's the biggest stage. That's the biggest event. It's going to be another record crowd as far as we can tell. But you've done well there. Like I said, you're a two-time world champion. You clinched your 170 points championship there. So even though it's a huge event with that huge crowd and everything else, the parade, everything else that goes on around the weekend, does it even add any extra pressure to you? You've been there so many times before.
No, it does. I feel like so many people come to watch there. I mean, Spring Crandon's like pretty big because a lot of people know Crandon, but Fall Crandon, I feel like when I say Fall Crandon, I just picture like the biggest crowd. I feel like even for the youth classes, I know people think it's like really cool to see Pro 4, but like watching the youth classes, a lot of people come. Actually, my hairstylist comes to Crandon and she watches. That's really cool. Yeah.
What's your favorite part of World Championship weekend? Is it the parade? Is it, you know, all the family and friends that come to support you, or what's the actual best part of it all?
Yeah, I love seeing all my family and friends coming. I'm hoping some of our neighborhood friends will come. But I feel like my favorite part is just being in the race, because usually my mindset is like, oh no, I'm really nervous. I don't want to race this weekend. But as soon as I get to the track and I'm like, oh, it's already driver's meeting. So I just get into the mindset, and I feel like racing is my favorite part. Just being in the truck and getting more practice and seat time, and then the feeling of like, hopefully I get on the podium, but I feel like the podium and winning the world championship is just super cool feeling. So I guess like the parts in between as well are pretty cool for me, because like it's just like nerves that I get just sitting around working on the stuff. But I would definitely say like during the race, just my mindset. My mindset is just
focused on driving, and that's it.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Well, Ella, as a young race car driver, as an 11-year-old race car driver, what advice would you give to a young driver younger than you trying to work his way up or her way up, a rookie in a 170 or a short course cart? Like, what advice in such a young class you'd give such a driver trying to make something out of it?
Yeah, I think anyone, like, I think no matter like boy or girl, anyone can do it if you put your mind to it and you believe into yourself. Because if you don't have confidence, like, you really don't have anything, because you can't go into the race being like, like, I'm nervous. Like, I don't think I'm going to do good. I don't think I'm going to be able to run with the guys or whatever. If you're a girl, you have to have like the mindset, like, I can do this. I'm going to send it into the corners and like know that you're going to do good. Because if you don't like think that you're going to do good, you're probably not going to do good.
Yeah, that confidence is huge. Shane and I always talk about that. And
all the time, yeah.
I totally agree. You have to have the confidence, and don't take yourself out of your own race. Because I know growing up, my brother and I, someone would come with a different sounding motor, and we'd be like, oh man, Dad, they have way too big of a motor for this class. And we'd psych ourselves out, and we'd go on and we'd do very well and beat those guys. So as a young kid, you really, yeah, I agree. You have to focus on what you do and make the best of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I feel like sometimes, or even like my brother's class, when I see the other classes, I get super nervous for him. I'm like, oh, I hope he does good, because I feel like I have, my feelings are kind of the same as his, because I like, I'm nervous for him, or if he does bad, I feel like bad, or if he does good, I'm super happy for him. So,
well, hey, we really appreciate you joining us here on the podcast, and we look forward to you putting that mindset to work at the World Championships here in just over a week.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
Man, Brent, all these guests are getting me more and more fired up for that Crandon Youth Cup, and we've got another good guest joining us on this Champ Off-Road Super Youth Podcast presented by Amsoil. Next up, This man has 7 wins through the first 10 rounds in short course kart this year. Race Visser, welcome to the Champ Off-Road Podcast. How's it going?
Hi.
So like I said, 7 wins through the first 10 rounds. Tell me from your point of view, like how great has your season been so far?
It's been pretty good.
Did you come into this year? I mean, you had 2 wins in 2021, 2 wins in 2022. Did you come into this year thinking that you were going to dominate like you have?
Yes, I did. I thought the exact thing of that.
Do you have a lot of confidence every race, though? I mean, as a driver coming in, you're so young, but we see the confidence, but do you feel you can win every race? Because obviously 7 out of 10, that's a pretty good average.
No, I do not think I can win every race, but I think I can win a couple every year.
So we actually just a couple minutes ago talked to Ella Holcher, and she said that she gets like super nervous leading up to a weekend. You know, what's your mood like leading up to a race weekend, like the week of a race? Do you get nervous like that too?
I do get pretty nervous, but it's just when the green flag goes, it feels different. It feels a lot better. I'm not nervous and don't feel nervous because you don't have to. And that's about it.
So you keeping those nerves out, does that help when you go riding around with your friends on your pedal bikes all day when you're not in the race truck? Does that help your brain just focus when you do get in the race truck?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Putting in those miles, hey?
Yep. I ride about 5 miles every weekend on my bike.
This is kind of interesting. You're the first, well, your dad and you are the first father and son that have both been on our podcast. So obviously, both you guys having a great year. Dad's right there in the championship hunt. He's got a shot at the Pro Spec Championship. You're looking really good in the Short Course Kart Championship. How awesome would it be for you to lock up that championship and then see your dad do the same thing?
It would feel like the best thing ever. It would feel better than the day that I got my race truck.
It would be like the best Christmas of all time in September.
Yeah, it would be better than the best Christmas ever.
Oh, wow, that's huge. So you and your dad are pretty close. And like from riding a pedal bike when you were growing up to racing a race truck, do you look up to your dad every day in just normal life?
Yes, I do.
So we talk about the guys and girls in your class. We talk about rivalries. Like who do you think that is your biggest rival in the class? Wes Vandervoort?
I would say yes. He is my biggest rival. He's been close to me every race, so it's been nerve-wracking for me.
Do you always look for him if you don't get such a great start? I mean, you've got some pretty good starts this year, but is that who you look for as a race car driver, or do you just focus getting out to the front no matter where he's at?
Well, I focus on getting out to the front, but I do look out for him a lot. When he's on my bumper, I should back off to my dad.
One thing I have noticed about you and Wes is that, and Brent and I have talked about that rivalry all year because, you know, even going back to last year, it seems like you guys were constantly competing for wins. I remember that super exciting race at Crandon from, I think, 2 years ago now where you guys were battling for that win. But you guys have a lot of respect for one another off the track, too. I mean, how cool is it to have a true rival like that where you care about one another, but you want so badly to beat him?
I mean, it's not really different because I have so many friends that I race with that I want to beat, and I guess I beat them somehow.
Do you guys always talk about who wins, who's going to get second, who's going to get third, or do you guys just say you're going to have fun every day and in your head you want to win? Or do you guys just play it as a game, or is it really serious at your age?
I think you said it. I think we don't really say who they think is going to get first, second, or third. We just go out there and have fun and battle around and race clean. That's the most important part. So,
but in your head, you want to win, right?
In your head, you always want to win. That's what everybody comes out for. So win and have fun.
That's awesome.
One of the things that I remember talking to your dad about when he was on the podcast is your future and your next move. I know already at the time you were in his ear a little bit about moving up to mod kart, and I've heard rumors that that might be coming sooner rather than later. Do you have any updates on that for us? Don't keep secrets. Spill the beans.
Nothing for sure, but we're hoping so.
So you're maybe making some plans, but nothing solid yet.
Pushing.
Nothing solid, but we're definitely making plans.
I know your dad's sitting next to you, and I know he's shaking his head at me right now.
He's like, shut up, Shane.
He's shaking his head and he's smiling. He's definitely having a big
time. When you do make that jump up to mod cart, you know, I know that you're really good friends with Gavin Plummer, and we talked to him just a few minutes ago too, and he said it's been like extremely tough to learn a whole new truck, to learn how to shift, to drive at way higher speeds. What are your expectations for when you do move up? Do you think you'll pick it up faster, or, you know, how hard do you think it'll be?
I hope it'll be like my dad, because when he was in his buggy, he was a lower dog in his class his first couple of years, and then he moved up to stock truck, which he was like a top dog. He was really good in it. Then he raced a couple of years, and now he was a two-time champion and a two-time points championship and a super stock. So I can hope that when I go on the mod cart, I'll be ready and I'll be one of the top dogs like him.
That is amazing. I think that's so cool that you have such big goals at such a young age. And obviously you're dreaming big, and I believe you're going to do what you will do. But your father's doing awesome in the short course world, and I'm sure you're going to follow in his footsteps, buddy.
That's our goal for the next lot of years.
Let's say you have a crystal ball in front of you and you're looking, let's say, how old are you?
I'm 10.
10. Okay, so let's say 10 years into the future when you're 20. I know that feels like forever from now, but what do you think you'll be doing in off-road racing when you're 20?
I think I'll be racing with my daddy.
And who will be winning, just to put that on the record, too?
Me. He'll be old.
He's not that old. Come on.
My dad will be old, and I'll be young, and I'll be better.
Well, you keep learning off your father. It'll help a lot.
Yeah.
He'll always be older, but older people are always wiser. Don't forget that.
Yep.
Yep.
Looking ahead to the next race, the last race of the season for you, racing at the World Championships at Crandon, that's basically your home track, and it's a huge event, the biggest crowd. It'll be the biggest crowd ever in short course racing again this year. Do you feel more pressure in those situations when it's a big crowd and a big event?
Yes, I do. Whenever I go on that barn jump, I look over and I smile because of how big the crowd is, and my hands are in there shaking on the steering wheel. Like, if anything happens, it's over for me and I can't get it this year. And it's just a crazy feeling.
So how do you handle that pressure? I mean, do you come in with a different mindset before the weekend, or do you treat it like any other race as much as you can?
I really treat it like any other race, because I really don't want to get cocky, because that's when bad things start to happen. So I come in like any other race, like with a good feeling that I might win, but I'm not going to brag. I'm not going to be cocky. I'm not going to be like a bad racer with a bad reputation. A good racer with a bad reputation is not what I want to be.
What's your favorite part at the World Championships? I know you've been there multiple years now, and what do you look forward to? Maybe not even part of the racing on the track. What's your favorite part of the whole weekend? The parade?
I think it's watching my dad race in his championship race. Is my favorite thing is watching my dad race in the championship race.
So you started racing when you were, what, 5 years old, right?
6 years old.
And you said you're 10, so this is your fifth year. That makes you like a legitimate veteran of short course off-road racing. If you could give one piece of advice to, let's say, a rookie in 170s or a rookie in your class, short course kart, what's the best advice you could give a racer who's just starting out as a little kid?
Best advice would be, like, if you're scared, just know you'll be okay. You have a big roll cage above your head, and you crash, you're probably not going to get hurt. It's a high chance if you do, and you're about to get taken out. Just hold the steering wheel as tight as you can so your wheels don't go nowhere, and you'll be good. Otherwise, just pedal a little mile, baby.
I love it.
That's the exact attitude I would have expected from someone with 7 wins and 10 races this year, honestly. Hey, one last question before we cut you loose. I know that you have obviously big racing dreams, but can you tell us right now that you promise you're not going to try to take our jobs? Because I know you've had your eye on that kind of stuff, too.
Like commentating?
Yeah. You've already gotten a ton of FaceTime. You got to do some special features for Champ Off-Road already. We just want to know our jobs are safe, that you're not gunning to take us out.
No. I'm camera okay. guy, so.
I don't believe that for a second.
No, you did wonderful.
Hey, so was I when I started, by the way. So that's no excuse.
Oh, you don't even want to know about my first time announcing. You'd giggle at me, Race. You'd giggle, and you just got to go up and do it. But just wait a couple more years so we can have a job for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I promise you, to God, I promise you I will never get away from you. I promise.
That's all we were looking for. We appreciate it.
When I get the crane, and I will pinky promise you.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Only if I get to announce for prospects.
We'll see what we can do.
Okay.
Well, hey, Race, we really appreciate you spending some time with us, and we look forward to seeing you drop the hammer at Crandon here in just about 10 days, the Youth World Cup. Are you excited? How's the truck? Are you fully ready?
I'm fully ready. Truck should be fast.
Well, we look forward to seeing it, man. We'll catch up with you at the racetrack.
All right. See you, Shane. See you, Brett.
Pedal to the metal, dude. Well, Shane, it has been so fun catching up with all this young talent. I cannot wait to watch the Youth Cup, not only the Youth Cup, but the whole weekend in general. We talk racing. We thought Bark River was awesome, but wait until Fall Crandon. It gives me goosebumps to think we're going back to the big house.
Hard to believe we're already at that point of the season where the next event is the World Championships. And like I said a couple times already, we'll set that up for you much, much more. We'll have one more episode of this podcast out before then with another great guest.
Well, Shane, I just can't thank everyone enough at Bark River. It was a great weekend, but like you said, we're headed into Crandon, and it's going to be over the top. I can't wait to get there. It's an extra day. Crandon seems like it keeps on getting longer, and I just can't wait to be there.
Yeah, Brent, it's going to be a banger, no doubt about that. One more podcast between now and then. We'll talk to you again soon. For Brent Smith, I'm Shane Stetsny, and thanks for listening to this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.